This morning is from Psalm 42, and you'll notice that there's a little bit of a typo in the bulletin because we're going to go Psalm 42 verses 5 through 7, then back to verse 3, and that 2 there is supposed to be 2 Corinthians. So the next scripture is 2 Corinthians 4 verses 7 through 9. So, Psalm 42, 5 through 7. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Tim the Tool Man. You know this guy. He's 2 or 3 years older than me, and I saw this article and it caught my eye. When he was 11 years old, his father was killed by he was driving a car and he was hit by a drunk driver. And so Tim was 11. And nearly 50 years later, he gave an interview in 2012. And he still claims that his father's death changed everything forever in his life. And he said that part of me still doesn't trust that everything will work out all right. I knew that my father was dead, but I was never satisfied with why he was dead. I wanted answers from God that minute. I asked God, "Do you think this is funny? Do you think this is necessary?" And he said, I've had a tumultuous relationship with my Creator ever since. Well, as most of you know, I had a similar experience. My father was killed in the Vietnam War when I was 10 years old. And so it comes up every May when we remember this, and it was in May that he was killed, so it's been 48 years ago this month. But 10 years after it happened, I was 20. And as at that point I was a committed believer, I had been in Bible college for 2 years, and the impact of the whole thing just landed on me, all the ramifications of it, the fact that we had not bothered to win that war, and the fact that we just up and left, kind of hit me, and I set my faith on the shelf for 10 years and really dealt with this issue. I don't recommend you do that with issues in your life, because the one thing I found out that if you walk out for 10 years, what you get is 10 years older. And when you pick up where you started off 10 years ago. And God still has you go through the same steps in your life, even though he was very busy teaching you the whole while. Today we want to talk about depression. And that is a subject that's a little touchy for us, but the truth is that we all experience depression in our lives. Some of us, not very much. Some people are born under a happy star, they say, with a sunny disposition. And I thank God every day of my life for people who are that way, because those of us who are not quite as sunny need those people around. We need them in our lives. We need them to remind us that there is a better way to look at things some days. Now, there are some people who do experience a lot of depression, and even though they may have been brought up in a good home and don't have not experienced any deep trauma in their life, still that affects them that way. Now, I want to come down the road and think about Jesus. Jesus experienced sadness in his time on earth. And a lot of his sadness had to do with the fact he was very sad that we were so enslaved to sin. We were so under the cloud of death and difficulty. That hit him very hard. And so we want to talk about depression today. We want to understand it, to get our arms around it, to accept it in a right sense, but also to realize that we don't want to get stuck in it, and we don't want to wallow in it. We don't want to enjoy it, as it were. And so we're still in this book, Healing for Damaged Emotions, and this week and next week will be our last go through this, and you'll see that the book kind of comes at the same topic of our soul from different angles. And so we want to look at this business of depression today. The Bible fully recognizes that human beings get depressed. The Bible does not condemn us for our depression. Very common in Scripture, the Scripture that Vicki read for us at Psalm 42. David said, "My soul is downcast." The prophet Elijah said that, "Lord, I want you just to take my life away. I've had enough." Jonah, the prophet, said, it's better for me to die than to live. Seriously. Jeremiah, the prophet, said, "This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me. No one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed." Jesus said, "My soul is sorrowful, even unto death." He felt that. The book reminds us that Scripture is more kind to us in experiencing depression. The Scripture is more kind to us than a lot of Christians are. There's this notion that, if you're feeling depressed, you've had a spiritual failure. But the Bible doesn't really look at it that way at all. People would say to us, "Well, just be like me." Well, the problem is, I'm just not like you. We're different. And that is by God's design. But the places that depression comes from are many. You know, from all points of the compass, all the way around you. You don't know where it's going to come from. But the cure is always the same. It's not simple, it's not easy, and it's not quick very often, but it's the same. The cure is basically the summation of all the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The cure is to get closer to God and to get closer to one another. And when you feel depressed, that's the hardest time to do that. But that's exactly what you and I need to do. And so, let me just put something out here, and I hope it will settle into your soul, this idea, this thought. God experiences our depression with us. And he tells us this in a lot of ways. God experiences our depression with us. So let's look at both sides of this coin today. First of all, it's part of our human experience. And if it is part of our human experience, it is also part of God's human experience. When Jesus walked with us, that was God entering a bod. Okay? God took on a body. And he experienced what we experienced. And he experienced the difficulty of some days that are just harder than other days. And so it's part of our human experience. It's part of God's human experience. Depression is actually fairly common among Christians. And there's a reason. Because there's a built-in problem. And the built-in problem is this, that we are in conflict. This book, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring trouble for you. So be careful before you start following me. I'm warning you ahead of time. We're in conflict with the cosmos, the world system. And then sometimes we can feel a little depressed about that, but then we can also feel depressed that we're not really in much conflict with the cosmos. We're just kind of going along with it, and we ought to feel a little bad about that because he's asked us to live our lives differently than the world lives its life. And so we struggle with the old self and the new self. The old man, the new man, the old woman, the new woman. Our life in Christ, we call it sanctification. Sanctification, it's a theological term. It's not that complicated. To sanctify something means to make it holy. To make something holy is to make it more like God. So sanctification is really just the process of me trying to be more like Jesus. Only it's not me, just me trying it. It's the Holy Spirit of God himself taking me through that process. So we're in a struggle. Now some people would tell you, well, that's a contradiction. Hasn't Jesus healed you up and you should be free from all your problems and all your depression? Depression is not a sign of spiritual failure. Not in the Bible, not in my Bible. In fact, very often, depression comes on the heels of great success. When Elijah said, Lord, just take my life. That was immediately after he had won this great victory at Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal. God had come down, had sent fire down and consumed his offering and had done nothing for the offering to the Baals. And so Elijah won the day. And from one little remark from Queen Jezebel, I'm gonna do you in for doing this, Elijah. He was just unbelievably depressed. In Genesis chapter 15, Abraham in chapter 14 has won a great victory. He gathered up an army and he defeated all the kings of this local area that were harassing them. And in the next chapter, chapter 15, he says, Lord, this victory, I mean, he's saying, this isn't a quote, but I mean, the paraphrase is, all this victory, what does it mean to me? Because I have no one to leave all my wealth to. I have no heir. See, God had promised him an heir, but he was old and his wife was old. God said, you got to hang on here. But Abraham was depressed about it on the heels of that great victory. The book that we're studying with calls this nature's emotional kickback. It's kind of like the recoil from firing a shotgun or a rifle, you know. To get that thing to go that fast, that direction, costs you a little something. You get whacked for it. And it's that way in the emotional realm as well. You pay a price for that. C.S. Lewis calls it the law of undulation in human personality. What goes this way must then come back that way. So we talk about, you know, pastors, you know, on Monday and Sunday. After doing this, what I'm doing right now, there's something draining about it. I don't know what it is, but most pastors experience it. And so pastors tend to be kind of wiped out on Sunday night and Monday. They feel rather poorly. And that's the reason that I don't take Monday as a day off. I learned this from Rick Warren, a pastor out at Saddleback Church in California. He said, why would I take a day off when I felt so lousy? I'm just going to work right on through it. And so I do. I take Fridays off. And that's just kind of how it works. In fact, we were talking this morning about a great preacher back in the 1800s, name of Spurgeon, and he was he couldn't get out of bed Monday mornings. He was very depressed. He struggled with that. But God's got some design things in all this. If you're married to somebody, you'll find very often that spouses are different from one another in this area of depression. One will tend to be more subject to it than the other. Well, that's a big help. It's a big help for the person who gets depressed because another person can help lift them out of it. It's a great help for the other person who probably never gets depressed, but they need to realize that the world, that not everybody is quite like them either. So they have to stop and pay attention to it. God is always teaching us in many ways. Now, I want to talk about one type of depression just for a moment so we're clear on what we're talking about. There is a depression that comes with the guilt of committing sins or doing something wrong. This is different than what we're generally talking about. So the principle is this. If you have a concrete feeling about some particular act you committed that's wrong, that is guilt. That's real guilt. And that can be followed by real depression stemming from the guilt of that act. And you feel guilty because number one, you can't take back what you did. Number two, you got to figure out how to make it as right as you can. And number three, you got to figure out how to not do this anymore. So that's a legitimate process, and you need to work through that in your life if you're struggling that way. But what we're talking about today is more vague than that. It's what the book describes as an all-inclusive umbrella of systematic self-accusation. And we've been kind of talking through some of that in the last few weeks about perfectionism. You know, we're egged on by that. If we struggle with trying to be too perfect, if we've got childhood hurts and scars that have come with us into adulthood, we're going to be subject to depression. It's going to be this vague sense of I'm just really not good enough and I can't do this. It's also related to your personality. Everybody's got a different personality. It's just the way it is. It has to do with your physical makeup. Has to do with your body chemistry. You know that there are just, you know, your body chemistry is very finely tuned. Just a little tighter of this drug or that drug can make you much brighter and happier or very depressed. And so we have drugs that deal with some of those issues. Your emotional patterns. How you've learned to react to certain situations since your childhood, that can affect you very deeply. But you would argue, but you are a new person in Christ. And I agree with you. I am a new person in Christ, and so are you. But that doesn't make us all the same. Our basic temperament is in place, and it's still the same fundamentally as it always was. You still have the same body you're living in. You have the same body chemistry. Actually, that may be a problem when you come to the Lord because your body chemistry may change because you may stop, I hope you stop taking all those recreational pharmaceuticals that you were taking before, alcohol, drugs, whatever. And, you know, basically what you were doing with those things was avoiding all the reality out there. And so you kind of stayed happy most of the time, except when, you know, reality came, you know, peeping through when you were sobering up. And so if you walk with the Lord, this may be the first time in a long time that you've really seen the reality of life for what it is. And it can be a little real and upsetting. But it's still the same body you live in, and it's still the same self that Jesus Christ is redeeming. And he's redeeming you one day at a time. He's redeeming you one decision at a time. He's redeeming you one choice at a time, see? And so you are still in that process of becoming like Jesus, of being sanctified.